Hello everyone, my name is Amanda Ostrander. I am a teacher turned homeschool mom, and this is the Raising A to Z Homeschool Podcast. And today I'm going to talk about self-care for homeschooling parents. When you are a homeschooling parent, you are wearing a lot of hats. You are parent, teacher, nurse, chauffeur, everything, right? You're doing all the things. Personally, I'm, you know, not only the parent, but I'm also a mom. I do a lot of volunteering. I run my small business. Like, there's lots of things that happen, a lot of hats that I wear. And it's very easy to burn out, especially since you are not getting those kind of consistent breaks away from your children and you're always having little bodies around you. It is very easy to feel overwhelmed and to burn out. I know this. I have experienced it on many occasions. Sometimes it's short term, sometimes it's a little bit longer, but it's very easy to feel overwhelmed. And so one of the things that we need to do when we are homeschooling our kids is to make sure that we have kind of steps in place to help us be more effective with our use of time and also help us to take care of ourselves so that we are not overwhelmed constantly. And that's where self-care comes into play. Now, I see a lot of stuff on social media about self-care. It's very trendy. It's very popular for people to talk about, you know, taking care of themselves and their self-care routines and all of that stuff. And for the most part, the self-care that I see talked about on social media is the really pretty fluffy stuff. The, you know, weekly baths and a hot bath with Epsom salt and pedicures and manicures and all these other things that people are doing to help themselves feel a little bit more calm, give them time to meditate and think about things and kind of give themselves a little bit of a break. And that is all good and nice and it's awesome. But I would argue that's not actually self-care. In fact, I was recently watching TikTok and someone, I can't remember who, but they were talking about how that's not actually self-care, it's aftercare. By aftercare, they meant that's the stuff that you do after you're tired and overwhelmed. It's the stuff that you do to help you make you feel more like yourself again. It's something you do after the burnout and the overwhelm has happened. Self-care is not that pretty, fluffy, makes you feel good stuff. It's all the stuff that you do beforehand to prevent the burnout and prevent the exhaustion. And that is the stuff that I'm going to talk about today. I'm going to give you 10 things that I do on a regular basis that help me with my self-care, help me try to be the most efficient, productive, but also least overwhelmed person that I can be so that I can show up the best for my kids and my family. Number one, I do weekly planning. If you have been watching me for any amount of time, you know that I'm a big believer in having a plan. One of my favorite sayings is failing to plan is planning to fail. That holds true for many aspects of my life. And so one of the things I do is have a weekly planning session, which is basically a time where I sit down, I take out my calendar, I look at like what is coming up in the next week. So usually I do this kind of like, for me, it's Friday afternoons, usually because I'm just too tired to do anything by Friday afternoon. And so I'll just sit down and just kind of like look at the week ahead, look at what's coming up Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, what's coming up, and start to like plan out what is going to happen in my week. It gives me a time to look ahead at like what needs to happen. So like if I need to get certain outfits washed because the kids have choir performance? Do I need to make sure that we get lunches made on a certain night because we are going on a field trip? It gives me a chance to like look ahead and see what is coming and gives me some time to prepare for what is actually going to happen. That way I'm not like always on my back foot. I'm ready to go. I know what's coming and I can even take some time and like plan out what kind of school activities we're going to do. If we're going to do a bigger project because we have more time, or am I going to scale back one day because I need this extra time to do something else? By looking at my whole week, it gives me that ability. And so I'm a big fan of having like a small amount of time to do some weekly planning. The second thing that I do is meal planning. And typically I'm not a big, like I don't meal plan breakfast. It's pretty much always the same. Lunch is whatever I can find, leftovers, whatever I can throw together. But I'm always a big fan of meal planning dinners because it ends up being one less thing for me to have to think about during the week. A, it's very budget friendly. Having a plan means that we're buying less groceries, we're wasting less food, we're spending less money. Like meal planning is great, but it also gives me the ability to like pick meals and pick things that are going to happen in our week that are effective for my time. So for example, typically like on a Friday or a Saturday, we're going to do pizza. Like that's something we have almost every week. We do homemade pizza. That's an easy meal that I'm going to throw in there. But then on Tuesdays, for example, we have two activities during the day. We have co-op in the afternoon. We have choir in the evening. And so that was a day where like every Tuesday I do a crock pot meal, typically crock pot soup of some kind, because that was just the easiest thing that I could do was pour all the stuff in the crock pot in the morning, leave it be while we did school and went to co-op, come back, it's done, it's ready, scoop it in a bowl, eat it, and then we're out the door to choir. By having a little bit of a meal plan, you're also being the most efficient and effective with your time, and picking meals that are going to make sense for your days. And I find that really helped us with a lot of like feeling overwhelmed when it came to dinner time. It was one less question for me. And I have a list. Like that's another thing I have is a list of meals and they're separated by, you know, simplicity. So I have like quick weeknight dinners. That's something that's like going to take me maybe half an hour to get on the plate. They're family favorites that the kids are going to eat quickly. I have crock pot meals, and then I have slightly bigger meals that are maybe take a little bit longer to make, but are maybe family favorites. So meal planning is really, really helpful. It does take a little bit of stress off of you, and it does help your family stick to your food budget and eat really well. Number three, I do a monthly reset. So typically it's usually monthly. It happens right kind of at the end of our month. I take some time and I get ready for what the next month is going to look like. So this will be going through kind of our homeschool space, making sure that like pencils are sharpened, taking out any pens that have died or markers that have died over the couple of weeks that we've been doing it. Taking out old papers or ripped like scraps of paper because that somehow accumulates. So kind of cleaning up a little bit. It's also a great time for me to do a little bit of prep for the next month. So I'll go through and like pull up books on whatever our theme of the month is. I'll get that all set up. I'll pull those books. Even if we aren't quite there, I'll just make a stack and put them on the dining room table. I might also go through and like start looking at like what's coming up. So making sure my curriculum is printed, looking through and seeing if there's any like materials that I'm going to need for any projects, making a list of that. And basically have this like one afternoon a month where I get to spend maybe an hour getting ready for the next month. And it is super, super helpful because then you're not feeling like you're playing catch up all the time. You actually have a bit of a plan going forward. Number four, I make a morning to-do list. So I have a to-do list I do every single day. I write it out every single day. I find that's really good for me personally. But I have a to-do list of what is going to happen in that day. And some people laugh when they see my to-do list because it has every task that I'm going to do that day. So I'll have like, you know, take a shower, blow dry hair, empty the dishwasher, homeschool the kids, make lunch, answer emails, do this, do that, make dinner, bath the kids. Like I put everything down on my list because I think it's very easy to say, oh, these are what I'm going to do today. But then it doesn't always account for all the other things you have to do as well. And I think sometimes you get really, it's very easy to be like, oh, it's only three things. I should be able to get three things done today. But when you take into account all the other things you're doing during your day, sometimes three things is too much because you have kids in your house, you're homeschooling them, you have, you know, meals to make like that. Those are all things that still need to get done. So having a to-do list gives me kind of a bit more of a realistic expectation of what I can feasibly do in a day. And I personally love being able to like check things off. And if I don't complete everything on my list, I can add it to the next day, but I can also see all the other things that I did complete because you have those days where you literally just survived. But when I look at my list, I can see the five or six things that we did do. Like I did feed the kids three meals today. I did make sure they did a little bit of math. I did make sure that this happened. And so you accomplish something. It's just kind of like a reassuring thing for me that like I did do something. Yeah, it makes me feel good. And it helps. I feel like it really helps me get all my thoughts down and then I'm ready to move forward with my day. Number five, walking. So I have been on a little bit of a health journey and one of the things that I've been doing is trying to move more. And so I have been, probably for the last, year or so, I've been walking on a regular basis, probably 5 to 6 days a week. Going for a walk and increasing my walking, like my pace, my distance, all of those things. And it has been really, really good for my physical and mental health. Our little mascot, Mac, he likes to come with me. And going out for these walks and making sure that I'm taking care of my like physical self is super important. And I will say the more that I've been walking, the more I've had less issues. So I have less back pain. I have a little bit more energy. I'm feeling good, moving more. And so like, it's just really been a really positive thing. So if you can find a way to add some movement to your day on a regular basis, that can be fantastic. So for me, that means getting up a little bit earlier, which is not my favorite thing because I have noticed that if I don't do it first thing in the morning, it won't get done. So I get up a little bit earlier. I get up with my husband. When he gets up, he goes and gets himself ready for work. While he's in the house getting ready for work, I take off with the dog and we go for our walk. And that has been fantastic. And by the time I get back, he's done and he's heading out the door to work. And it's just, you know, the best way for me to make sure that I'm actually getting out and doing my exercise. The other like strange side effect is like, because I'm up and I've already like done something and like been productive and then like taken a shower and all those things, I tend to also then be more productive throughout the day. Like it's very easy to like wake up and like have a slow morning and just like all the time. But it's like, and there's nothing wrong with having a slow day every now and then. That's not what I'm saying. But like, it's very easy to like every day just like drag on and to like just not get things done. But like the days when I get up and take a shower and go for a walk, let me tell you, we start school a little bit earlier. We're on the ball a little bit earlier. I make better breakfasts. I eat more vegetables. Like just all the little things that come from making those like keystone healthy decisions, they happen. And so if you're looking for tips on walking, get a good pair of headphones, make a really fun playlist. And I personally have been using Runkeeper. It's a free app. And basically you can like program it with your phone and it tracks your distance and your pace. And then every day I'm trying to do like a little bit further or a little bit faster. And I will say in the last like 3 months since I've been using the app, because before that it was just, I had a route. In the last 3 months I've been using this like pacing app and it has made a huge difference. Like I used to joke that like the route that I take now, typically like one of my standard routes used to take me like 40 minutes. I'm down to like 25. And if I were to do that before, I would have been like severely out of breath. So it's working, making better health decisions, always good for your self-care. Number six, something that I do that is self-care for myself is have a hobby. And I think that's something that a lot of people nowadays don't necessarily have. Sometimes it's very easy to get wrapped up in like homeschooling your kids and that becomes your identity. I see a lot of parents who, you know, taking their kid, become like hockey moms becomes their identity, or soccer moms or dance moms, or, you know, that becomes kind of their identity for themselves because it takes up so much of their time. And there's nothing wrong with that. I'm all happy for you. But there is something to be said when you do something that is just for yourself and investing the time in yourself and doing something that makes you happy and makes you feel good and helps you be creative and express yourself is incredible. There's three things do that are kind of like my personal hobbies. I like to read. I have quite a collection of books that I like to read. I read on my phone a lot, apps, Kindle, all that kind of stuff. I read a lot. Then I also love to bake. I actually used to do like cake and cookies and cupcakes and stuff for weddings and events. Don't do that anymore. Just do it for fun. But I do feel sad on the weeks where I don't bake anything. So we typically bake something for tea time every week and that really does help me feel better. But I do love baking. And then I personally also have taken up embroidery. That has been probably the last 18 months. But I will say I find that I go through little stints of when I like to do things. So I tend to read more over the summer. I think it's because I can be like outside with the kids and stuff. I tend to get through more reading. And then embroidery tends to be something that I do in the winter or while I'm watching a show. Like I just like to have my hands busy. But having a hobby really gives you an outlet and it gives you time to invest in like a skill that you're doing and that you're learning. And it's a really good way to take care of yourself physically, mentally, and emotionally. Number seven, I have mom's days out, which basically is exactly what it sounds like. It is a day where I get up and I leave and I go out into the world and I do whatever I want to do. And I get a day to be away from my children and away from my husband and away from my house and do something different. Sometimes it is like combined with other things. So for example, I often typically have like mom days out when I also have like an appointment booked. So for example, I get like massage therapy for my back. And so I will often have like massage therapy like early in the day and then like go out afterwards. So like get my massage and then go about my day. Sometimes it ends up just being evening, but like a significant amount of time. And then like, so I'll get my massage and then I'll go and do something else. Sometimes it's just like running errands. Sometimes it's window shopping. And then often I put like a block of time where I'll like go to a coffee shop and like do some work. It all depends on like how much time I have. So like if I have an afternoon, like an evening kind of time, because I'm doing it after my husband comes back from work, then typically it'd be like, it's only like 4 hours or 5 hours. But sometimes if I can get like a Saturday or a Sunday and like have a whole day, whew, the amount of stuff I can get done in like 8 or 9 hours, incredible. And then I'll actually have like two different, like I'll do like a work session in the morning and a work session in the afternoon and like go to two different coffee shops and spend like 2 or 3 hours doing those things and like doing different things and getting ready and doing work and all that kind of stuff. And the amount of stuff I get done is incredible. But also it's just like good to like have time to be by yourself and to like work on your projects without being interrupted by, can you open this? Or so-and-so is angry about this. They're not sharing. They have this. It's just nice to like not be in charge of things for a little while. And I think it's good for us. So if you can try to do it on a regular basis, I try to get one at least once a month. Really, it's like once a month is really good. Try to schedule yourself a mom's day out. Number eight, sleep. This is one that I think a lot of people discount, is how important it is to get really, really good sleep. Sometimes that means going to bed at times that are unfashionable. Some people are night owls and that is great. I find it's very hard to be a night owl when you have children because they get up at a certain time every day, regardless of how late you put them to bed and all of that. So going to bed at a regular time on a regular basis and not having that deviate too much is super important. I just saw a study that came out when they were talking about like how much sleep people need. And it was talking about how like when you hear, oh, everyone needs like 7 to 8 hours a night, right? That was 7 to 8 hours a night for a 40-year-old man. That was like the group that they tested this like sleeping theory on. When they actually redid the test and redid the study, but included women in the study, they found out that women actually need anywhere from 9 to 10 hours of sleep a night, plus an extra hour during your cycle, during your, like when you're menstruating. So make sure you're getting enough sleep, because I don't think enough parents and people are getting enough sleep in general. And sleep is just so important for your immune system, for your mental health. Get some sleep. Number nine, have some home days. I cannot stress this enough. As a homeschooling parent, you're going to have people who say, but you can make your own schedule, you can do what you want, and aren't you home anyway? And the answer is, yes, I can make my own schedule, but I am never home. That is becomes the reality of it. It's often very difficult to maintain boundaries of time and like your own home when you're homeschooling, because you're always focused on like getting your kids out and doing social things and having educational experiences and getting your errands done. And so you end up leaving your house far more frequently than I think anyone ever imagined you would when you started homeschooling. One of the things we implemented are home days, days where we do not leave. And it is the same day every single week. For example, for us, it's Monday. Monday, I don't leave. We don't go anywhere on Mondays. Mondays, we stay home. We do our school in the morning. We bake something. We might have tea time, but like we do not leave the house. any extra time that comes up on Monday that is not filled with school or chores, I can work on other projects. I can get stuff done. I can laze around. But it gives me that ability to like actually be in my home and relax. And it also gives my kids the ability to like sit down and A, be bored if they have to be bored, because being bored is good for you. It gives them time to have free time and work on different projects or activities, gives them time for play, lets them be creative, and I get time to actually take care of my entire house and have time to like do my hobbies and have time to like have a break. Now, obviously there are times when like it's out of your control. You know, for example, when we like went away on holidays, like we were gone for the week. Obviously, Monday was not a home day. There was a day when we had our co-op wanted to go bowling, but the only day they had available to go bowling was a Monday. Obviously, like those are like exceptions to the rule. But I think for the last year, it's like since September, we have only left the house on Mondays like three times, maybe four, in the last eight or nine months. So it has been a routine that we have enjoyed and my kids like it. I feel that they look forward to their having their home days because it gives them a reason to say no to other things, but it also lets us have a little bit of downtime in our week because it's very easy. Sunday we have church, Tuesdays we have co-op, Wednesdays we're our gymnastics and girl guides, Thursdays sometimes we want to go run errands or we have to go see Grammy, Fridays we do extra field trips, Saturdays are birthday parties. Like it's very easy to like be out of the house constantly. So having a home day makes a big difference in my mental health as well as my kids. Number 10, block tasks. By this, it is something that I do more so with my like actual like work, but I often find it works well with chores as well. So when I'm talking about doing blocking for tasks, it's doing the similar things all at the same time. So for example, when I'm doing like my business stuff, I often will do like blocking for emails. So I'll have one day where I sit down and that's all I do. I'll like pre-write 3, 4, or 5 emails that are going out to my email subscribers. You should become one of them, FYI. And then once I have that put out, like then I can go back and edit them later. But because I'm writing one email, it's very easy to continue doing the same task. Like once you get started, it's much more difficult to start a task, stop, change course, and do another one. And so by doing like 4 or 5 emails, I've kind of like gotten a big chunk of work done. And then I'll do a transition to a different task. This is very similar to like what I did with my kids' clothing. Like we recently did like a big declutter and I was like, oh, I'll go through my stuff. So I did my stuff. And then I was like, well, while I'm at it, while I'm in the mindset of like sorting and like bagging up clothes and getting them ready to go, I did my kids' room. Yes, it was a big job to do all of their closets and their drawers and all of that. But because I was already doing the one task, I already had the garbage bags out. I was already like making piles of things that didn't fit or needed to be fixed or needed to be given away. I was already doing all those tasks anyway. It wasn't a lot of like a mindset shift to shift over and do that other task. By finding ways to block tasks in your home, and in your homeschooling and in your life can actually be a really efficient, easy way of getting more done. I talk about this often, like how I only teach 3 subjects to my kids at a time, language, math, and like a unit study. That's kind of an example of blocking. So because we're only transitioning between, you know, 2 times, 1, 2, we actually get a lot more done in a short amount of time because we're doing less on like switching mindsets, switching activities, getting different supplies. We're just getting more done. So instead of doing like language, math, and then doing science, history, geography, and art, I'm only doing 3. A bunch of them are combined into our unit study. And by doing that, I'm actually giving my kids, we can get a little bit deeper, we can do more because we're not constantly switching and having to change what we're thinking about. We're actually able to get more done in a shorter amount of time and we're much more efficient and more focused on the tasks that we're getting done. So task blocking can be a really effective way to help you get more done without adding a ton of extra mental effort to your day. And then lastly, as a bonus, sometimes it's nice to do the flappy stuff. Like I said, I'm not against it. I personally love having my toenails painted. It's just like a thing that I like to always have my toes painted. I like getting dressed in the day, in the morning, and putting on an outfit that's comfortable and cozy and it makes me happy. I like doing my hair. I put on makeup on a regular basis. Like, there's nothing wrong with doing the fluffy things. It's just making sure that we're doing the fluffy things to help us and not because we're feeling exhausted already. Like I said, self-care should be about doing things to help us ahead of schedule so that we're not overwhelmed constantly. Whereas, you know, we can do those fun things because they do help us and they are part of our mental health and our physical health to like make sure we're feeling good and looking our best and all of those things. But it shouldn't be like the foundation of your self-care. It should not be getting your nails painted. Like, if that is what's holding you together, I'm really, really sorry, but we need to help you out here. So I want to make sure that we're being really good at taking care of ourselves as homeschool parents, because we are feeding into our kids constantly and every day. And so putting a little self-care and taking a little time for self-care on a regular basis will make your physical and mental health better, but it'll also make you a happier, healthier, more present and more effective parent and homeschool parent. Thank you so much for listening. And if you want more information and inspiration about homeschooling, make sure you are subscribed to the Raising A to Z Homeschool podcast. And feel free to also follow me along on some of my social media platforms, such as Facebook, TikTok, and Instagram at Raising A to Z. Thank you so much. And I can't wait to talk with you guys next week.